Our reading today is from the book of Mark in chapter 8, and we read from verse 34. So the book of Mark in chapter 8, and we read from verse 34. When he had called the people to himself, with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And that was our reading from the book of Mark, beginning at the end of chapter 8 and closing at the end of chapter, at the beginning of chapter 9. So we are now at a point in our study of the Gospel of Mark, where Christ is at the end of his time in Galilee. He is in the final year of his ministry, and also, this would be the final year of his life. He would soon go to Jerusalem in maybe about 4 months, where he would go to the cross and die there. And he would die to take away the sins of his people. Well, in this part of Christ's ministry, this final part of his ministry, he focuses less on miracles. He focuses less on teaching massive crowds of people, and he focuses more on spending time with his disciples and teaching them, preparing them for what is soon to come, for his departure and for his death. And the Lord Jesus Christ also becomes much more direct with his teaching, because he is not so public, and there would not be such a big reaction when he taught to just his disciples. He was much more direct and clear about what he said than he was previously in his ministry. And now, coming to the text in Mark chapter 8, we considered previously that Christ had just taught his disciples for the first time in a very clear manner about his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. This is sometimes called the Passion of Christ. And he has just affirmed to them that he was the Christ, he was the Messiah, and that very soon he would suffer on the cross and be taken away from them. So now he, in this same discourse, in this same discussion and teaching, he follows this with some teaching about what it means to follow him, what it means to follow Christ, to follow the one who would suffer on the cross. We'll consider here today these few verses. It was my original intention to cover a bit more, to cover more into chapter 9 and the Transfiguration, but I think even in these few verses, they are very famous verses. There's more than enough for us to consider even tonight. So I've excluded for now. We'll consider them in a later study, the Transfiguration of Christ. But we'll think about the cross, what it is to take up your own cross for the sake of Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34, he calls the multitudes, the people to himself. So there were people around the area of Caesarea Philippi, And he calls them to himself. The previous teaching had just been to the disciples only, but now he invites others to come. And he has much to say to them. And this lesson in particular, these few verses, they apply, they are not just for the disciples, they apply much more generally, much more universally, and of course they would apply to us as well. So what does Christ teach? He teaches, in verse 34, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, the teaching of Christ here is in three parts. In verse 34, we have two of the parts. The first is, who are we concerned about? The second is, what must they do? And then the final part, which is in verses 35 to 38, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches about why they must do it. So, coming to that first part, who are we concerned about? Well, it's whoever desires to come after me, to come after the Christ, to have his benefits. When Christ was journeying, we don't see this much today, but a disciple or someone who wished to follow Christ as he journeyed around Galilee, as he journeyed around Israel, would follow after him, would walk behind him, would follow him from place to place. And so that is the sense. Whoever desires to follow me, to come after me, to walk as I walk, to be Christ's disciples. So all these verses are really about seeking after God, about seeking after Christ, about conversion, about being one of Christ. Well, in order to be one of Christ, to come after Christ, there is a three-part requirement. The three-part, for all those who would be Christ, there's a need for them to deny himself, to deny self. The second, to take up his cross. And finally, to follow me, to follow Christ. So there are three requirements, and we'll consider them in detail. All three of these are linked, and they follow one after the other, and each one of them is inseparable from a life with Christ. So immediately, from the first requirement, we go to the first one, let him deny himself. One thing to make clear is that these requirements to follow Christ, of course, do not merit us. They don't earn us any favor with God. It is not Christ is not like a parent saying to a child, if you want that toy, you go and work for it yourself, you earn it yourself. The requirements are not for the sake of earning the right to follow after Christ, but it is nevertheless a necessary part of coming after Christ. It is inseparable. And we know that it is not meritorious. So it's not it doesn't earn you anything to deny yourself, because part of self-denial is also denying self-reliance. So even as you deny yourself, you deny your self-reliance. So it would not work for Christ to demand self-denial while requiring it as something that earns you anything. But rather, this is part of sanctification. So it's not part of justification or being right with God in that sense, but it is part of the work of God in us. At the point of conversion, working in us and molding us into his image. So the requirements here, they are, of course, actions for us to consider, for us to actively work at, but just to make clear, they do not earn us the right to follow after him. They are merely an extension of following after Christ. So what is it to deny self? Well, to deny self is to disown, to have no association. The word deny. The Apostle Peter denied the Lord, he was essentially saying that he had nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 15 and verse 71, Peter says, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." He denies the Lord. He disassociates himself with the Lord. He pretends that he has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is when it comes to self-denial. It involves the same thing. It is to count yourself as nothing, to disassociate with your own self, putting aside what is your own desires, your own possessions, your own needs even, is to disassociate with that. And there's so much of self to be denied in us. There is self-reliance, we've just spoken about, and there's so much of that in us. There's self-righteousness, we think highly of ourselves so often. There's self-will and self-determination. We like to be the captain of our own ship. We like to determine our own direction. But here the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, no, you, in order to come after me, you must deny yourself that. You cannot. You must follow me. You must give up that right to determine your own path. We must deny ourselves self-satisfaction and self-pleasing, self-indulgence. You know, there are many pleasures in this world, and so often we try to take them upon ourselves to please ourselves, to satisfy ourselves. And the Lord is here once again saying, no, you know, these things, they must be put away. Even more than that, self-admiration, self-esteem, self-importance, self-absorption. So we think so many of these things of ourselves, they are really vanity. We esteem ourselves, we think of ourselves as the center of our own universes. But the Lord here commands that all these things we put aside, and in fact we must put them to death for His sake. And are these things we find hard to give up? You know, for sure. I think it would be a very dishonest person who would say that they do not struggle with any of these things. But we also must remember that these are the things that drag us away from Christ. These are the things that draw us into sin, to draw us into the world, to draw us into a life that does not consider Christ, does not consider Him first. Is there some darling sin that you cannot part with? Is there some darling possession or activity that might not be sinful in itself, but you know it causes you to stumble? The issue with it is really that when you choose that darling sin, when you choose that darling possession, you choose yourself. You're not giving up yourself. You're not denying yourself. You're choosing self. And as you choose self, you deny the Lord, what is His. And so we must put it aside. We must remember that self is a great enemy for us to contend with, for us to deny, for us to fight off, and to have nothing to do with. And one of Christ's teachings is that you cannot have God or mammon, you cannot have God or money. And it's the same thing, you cannot have God and self. You cannot have two masters, and self is a master. It holds power over you. If you would worship self rather than God. So you must deny one or the other. So would you choose Christ or would you choose to deny self? So very related to this is, of course, the second requirement, which is to take up the cross. And in fact, this is Christ's favorite expression about self-denial. He mentions it 6 times in the Gospels. And what does it bring to mind? Of course, to take up the cross brings to mind the cross of Christ. He took up his cross. He bore suffering. He bore shame. He bore persecution on the cross for our sakes. And he did so on the cross to his death. He died on the cross. And Christ's life, we remember, was dominated by the cross. And in taking up the cross, the Lord is essentially exercising self-denial. He puts himself aside so that he may go onto the cross and take up his own cross. But we also see here that that self-denial involves more than just giving up what we have and denying ourselves. It also involves taking up a cross, right? It also involves a willingness to bear sufferings, to bear shame, to stand firm, even to the death for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's more than just the absence of self. It is also to take upon yourself the cross, to take upon, in a way, the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bear it. And to stand firm with it. That's what it means to be a Christian, to put aside self, but not just to be empty, to take up your cross, to take up the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way. And finally, the third requirement is, of course, following him, follow me. And you can't do you can't do this without the first two. You can't really follow the Lord Jesus Christ without denying yourself and without taking up your cross. In a way, you'd have too much baggage and too much to weigh you down. You'd have yourself constantly trying to draw you away from Christ. So we must do all these three things as a whole, as a collective, what is it to follow Christ? It is to trust him, to trust that what he has done is sufficient for us, to trust him for salvation, to trust him for provision, that even as we follow him, he will provide all that we need. It is to walk in his footsteps, to walk behind him, to walk the same paths that he walked. And it also is to follow his commands, to obey his commands, to obey his teaching. That even as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we live a life according to what he teaches us. And these three things, we can sum them up as taking up the cross. Are they present in our lives? Can we say that we've made steps to any of these three things? Can we say that we have denied ourselves? Can we say that we have taken up the cross? Can we say that we followed him? And let us, consider these three things as a collective, just to be very, very clear about them. And I have 3 points just for us to consider. Well, the first is that all these three things, taking up the cross, they are all necessary to follow, to coming after the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all necessary for true salvation, for conversion. You know, it's not a very pleasant thing to talk about, denying yourself, to talk about having to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is difficult, and it is painful, and not necessarily an encouraging thing to think about, but it is essential. It is part of the gospel that you can't get away from, and the Lord Jesus Christ is very blunt about it here. If the Lord Jesus Christ had not died on the cross, there would be no salvation. And without the cross, a Christianity without the cross is not really Christianity at all. And so, and in the same way, a Christian who does not take up his cross, can they really say that they are Christian at all? So, many false teachers, they might talk about the cross, but what they often fail to mention is this is the personal cross, is the cross that we have to bear ourselves. And so, in doing so, they share an incomplete and sometimes a false gospel, because they fail to mention that that to follow Christ comes with a cost. And so it is a very necessary cost for us to consider. And the second thing for us to consider is, of course, that taking up your cross is a voluntary thing. The Lord Jesus Christ, no one compelled him to take up the cross. He took up his cross out of his own will. That yes, the chief priests, they caught him, they trialed him, they hung him, but he could have stopped it at any point, just like that. And we know, of course, that it's made very clear to us that he could have called even a host of angels, even while he was on the cross. At his weakest point, he could have shown his almighty power and brought an end to his cross, to his self-denial, even there. And so, just like the Lord, every element of self-denial, every element of the three requirements that we've considered is voluntary. It's up to you. There's always a way out. You can always deny the Lord. You can always deny the Lord instead of denying yourself. You know, we're not talking about all the hardships in life. There are hardships in life that you cannot escape. But all people will go through some hardship at some point. But the hardships and the difficulties that we are considering here are ones that you have to voluntarily take up. They are ones that you will only bear if you follow Christ. For example, persecution. Persecution is something that, you know, is only applicable to someone who follows Christ. Only for the sake of Christ do you suffer persecution for his name. But you can always get out of it, right? When you're persecuted, you can always deny Christ. Peter did, right? Peter did. And in your social circles, in your place of work, you know, when there is persecution, when people don't laugh at you or talk behind your back or even, you know, insult you in your face or cause you trouble because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you are a Christian, you can always make a joke about Christ and you'll get out of it. You know, people will accept you. And it's the same thing with self-denial. You can just not do it. You know, you can choose not to attend an evening service. You know, I won't. You can choose not to pray in the morning. It is completely voluntary. So, and of course, we don't always think about it in such a planned or calculating way when we choose not to deny the Lord, or when we choose to deny the Lord. But ultimately, it's always a choice. It's always a choice when we deny self or when we deny the Lord, when we take up our cross or when we don't. It is a choice. You know, whether we choose to stick to our morning devotion or we choose more time in bed, it is a choice, a voluntary choice. And whatever it is that you might need to give up to follow Christ, remember that it's about the voluntary nature of the discipleship. And remember that, all of this is free will and is completely up to you. It must come from your own self. So when you think about self-denial, when you think about taking up the cross following him, remember that no one forces you to do it. It is you who must do it. It is your choice. You must count the cost for yourself, and you must choose to deny self because you consider it as the right thing to do. And finally, one other thing to consider about these three requirements is that it's very hard. None of these things, denying self, taking up the cross, following Christ, is easy. In fact, they're probably the hardest things to do in life. Anyone who has done so can probably tell you by experience. It goes against the very nature of man to deny self. We want comfort, we want ease, we want to do what we want, and we do all that we can to get that comfort, we do all that we can to get that ease. But for one who follows Christ, you know, we might want that comfort, we might want that ease, and we might think that it's hard to give it up, but we must still do so. That is the requirement of the Lord. It is necessary for us. So I've just painted quite a bleak picture about the three requirements. So why would anyone do it? Why would anyone deny self? Why would anyone take up the cross or follow Christ? If it's voluntary, and if it's so difficult, so it costs you so much to follow after Christ. Well, Christ gives us three reasons in the following verses. From verse 35 to verse 38, he gives us three reasons, and they are marked out by the fours, the word four. It would be nice if it was four fours, but in verse 37 it's an or. So we have the three fours, and in the three fours we have three different persuasions of the Lord Jesus Christ of why someone should take up the cross and follow after him. The first is a promise. The second is a question. And the third is a warning, and they're all about denying Christ as compared to denying self. So in all these three things, it's really comparing what it means to deny Christ rather than to deny self. Well, in the first, in verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the Gospels will save it. So whoever desires to save life will lose it. Here we have one of the Bible's, especially the New Testament's, many Christian paradoxes. Those who wish to save their life will lose it. They want, you know, it's natural for people to want to take care of their own lives, to have this instinct of self-preservation. But what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here, he's talking about life, of course, not dying, but he's also talking about lifestyle, and he's talking about the sinful life that people do want to save, that they want to preserve, that they don't want it to be taken away from them. And many people, they of course they make provision for life, they take care of life, they are buying insurance, they are doing all they can to protect their life, and And so we do see many people trying to save their life. And if this is confusing, it's the easiest way to see this is in practice, right? So many people, they live for their own lives. We see it in the people around us. Perhaps we even see it in ourselves. We live for our own life's sake. We live to enjoy it, and we live to preserve it. And the Lord Jesus Christ in this verse, he is trying to say that whoever loses his life for the gospel's sake, rather than trying to preserve it, Christ will save it. And there's a distinction here. In the first part, it's whoever desires to save his life. But in the second part is whoever loses his life. So in the second part, the second person does not desire to lose his life, but the first person desires to save his life. And what is being made clear here for our understanding is that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying that, of course, that anyone who loses life for Christ's sake will have the Lord's compensation, will have the Lord's blessing. And this is very much linked to self-denial. Even as we deny self, and we must do so, we must do so very sincerely, the Lord Jesus Christ will make it up to us. He will make it up to us more than any earthly thing. And all the sacrifice in denying self is completely made up. As we put aside that desire to save our own life, and as we exercise self-denial, the Lord Jesus Christ will give us more than we could ever hope to protect in our own lives. And so think about what Christ offers to those he will save. He offers eternal life. He offers peace with God. He offers joy, the joy of salvation, joy of knowing Christ. He offers a new family. He offers righteousness, new life, heaven, his own love. And he offers Christ himself. And so no one who has lost anything for Christ has ever truly lost out. And this extends even to those who lose their own physical life, to people who die for the Lord Jesus Christ, who are martyred for him. Even they will not have lost out for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has more than made it up to them already, and he will continue, and he will do so also in the life to come. So those who whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. And the second four here is for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So there are two arguments here, one reinforcing the other, and they are both about the soul and the preciousness about the soul. So we ought to take up the cross, and here we're doing the math, taking up the cross, the value of the soul as compared to the value of anything that is lost in self-denial. And what is the difference between the two? The difference between verse 36 and verse 37 is that verse 36 talks about potential if he gains the whole world, whereas in verse 37 it's about reality, what does a man have that he can exchange for his own soul? And if you would gain the whole world, verse 36, what is it worth and what can you do with it spiritually? What does it profit you when you lose your own soul? It profits you, it gains you something in this world for sure. But if you lost your own soul, no matter how much you gain in this world, you're still a loser. You're still, it's still a net loss to you. In fact, you will also be destined to lose the whole world also, having lost your own soul. In that last day, you will not be, or at the point of death, you will not be able to hold on to the world. You know, many people think that they can get away with both. Many people think that they can get away with having the world and having Christ, having their souls, having salvation. And the sad reality is, of course, that so many of those same people don't. They shipwreck their faith. All they end up with is the world, if they even do get the world. So only very few people are saved out of that, and only by repentance. So we must honor God first. We must prize our own souls above anything else in this world. And in verse 37, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Well, have a look at your bank account. Is there anything there that you can give in exchange for your soul? Have a think about your accomplishments. Is there anything there that can compensate for the soul? You know, health or wealth or fame? Is there anything that can be exchanged for the soul, that you can buy the soul with? Well, no. You know, what do we pursue in this life that could be worth more than pursuing after Christ? You know, with Christ is salvation, is security for the soul. And your soul is precious. It is eternal. It will never die. And the what your soul goes through, will never end. You know, the body returns to the dust from which it comes, but the soul is eternal. It goes to God who made it, or to hell to bear the punishment of sin. And how precious it is, how important it is to make sure that your soul is in the right place, to make sure that your soul is right with God. You only have one, you only have one life to get it right. So what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And the final reason that the Lord Jesus Christ gives for denying self, for taking up the cross, is a warning, and it is a warning for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. And there's always a temptation to be ashamed of Christ. The world thinks very little of him. And this is true wherever we are, wherever we have to be, in place of work, even in families, if you don't live in a godly family, there's a temptation to be ashamed of Christ. Even in church, sometimes, perhaps you're even in church, that not everyone is converted, or not everyone is, necessarily spiritually alive. To fit in, it is easier to be ashamed of Jesus, to put less importance on the things of Christ. But who are we really doing this for? You know, when we are ashamed of Christ, we are doing it for an adulterous and a sinful generation. Are these the people that you really want acceptance from, to the extent of denying Christ? You know, the Son of Man, he will be ashamed in the last day of all those who are ashamed of him. Is it really worth the acceptance of the same people who will face his judgment at the last day? Is it really worth the acceptance of sinful people, you know, to be ashamed of the Lord? And I think that there's a hymn that expresses this very well. It's not in our hymn book, but I'll just read a few verses for you. So it's, "Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of you whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend, on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fears to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Saviour slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me." And, you know, and so that was from the hymn, "Jesus, and Shall It Ever Be." And there's 1,001 reasons for the Lord Jesus Christ to be ashamed of his people. We sin every single day. We sin in thought and word and deed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he has every right to be ashamed. But in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. In spite of all their sin, in spite of all our sin, all that we, in spite of all that we let him down in. But here he makes it very clear, if we will be ashamed of him, if we will be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, we deny him rather than denying self, we can expect nothing less but then for him to deny us in that last day, in that day of judgment. We see that he, in all these reasons, in all these three reasons, that if there's no cross, there's no cross bearing, if there's no self-denial, there will be no Christ for us. And so I ask each one of us here tonight, have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross? What have you denied yourself? Have you denied yourself friends, possessions, career, time for the Lord? You know, it's hard. It's a loss. You know, otherwise it wouldn't be self-denial. It wouldn't be a cross. But it's so very much worth it. And think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did when he prepared for the cross. He was well aware of the pain. If it could be taken away, he would have done it. But he went there cheerfully. He went there with joy. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And yes, self-denial is hard. Yes, taking up your cross is hard. Yes, following Christ is hard. But should we be afraid to come to Christ, to take up our cross? Well, think about Christ, think about his teaching, think about his cross, think about your own soul, think about what it is to lose your life, to be denied by him in that last day, you know, and count the cost for yourself. Is it worth it to deny self or to deny the Lord Jesus Christ? And Christ, he doesn't end his teaching here. I know it's in chapter 9, but it is the same. It is part of the same teaching, the same audience as well. And he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And the Lord Jesus Christ, he ends with an assurance. He ends with a promise of glorious things to come. And from speaking about self-denial, from speaking about his own death, he speaks about the glory of his kingdom that will surely come. And it came for those who were standing there with him at Pentecost. They saw his glory come, and it was such a glory. What radiance of glory, what joy is beyond compare. And it will come again for all those who follow Christ, for all those who deny self, who take up their cross. They will know his glory. So look beyond the cross and look to his glory, and you will find that it is so worthwhile to take up the cross and to follow Christ. So we end our thinking tonight with the hymn number 80.